turning today in the Word of God to Paul's second letter to Timothy and to the chapter 1. Paul was writing this letter as one who was a prisoner for the cause of Christ. And as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, these are the words that he penned. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And we'll end the reading there, just at the end of the chapter, knowing that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We want to bow in prayer just for a moment as we come to consider God's word and pray for help, even in the going forth of God's word and in the hearing of his word. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day that thou hast given to us. We thank thee for a measure of health and strength. We thank thee for thy word in our own language. We thank thee for the glorious gospel of Christ. We thank thee today for thy mercy and grace, that there is a way whereby we can approach unto thee, a holy God, in and through thy Son, the Lord Jesus, the only mediator between God and man. We thank thee for thy Spirit who comes to dwell within each believer. We thank thee for the new birth. We thank thee for all of the spiritual blessings that thou dost bless your people with. And we pray today, as we consider thy word, that thou wilt come again and minister to our hearts. We thank thee that thy Spirit can come and apply the word to hearts. And so we pray that thy word will be profitable to our souls this day. For all who will hear this message, we pray for each child of God, each one who is saved by thy grace, will be led on with thee. We pray for any that are out of Christ that will hear this message, that they may come to know Christ as their Saviour. We pray again that you would have mercy upon our land and nation in these days, upon our family circles, upon our churches, upon our missionaries, in the midst of all that is taking place. We pray again that thou wilt even preserve life. We pray that you'd remember the bereaved, remember those unwell. We thank thee for those that have experienced answers to prayer in their lives, needing a touch upon the body. We remember again the medical staff. We commend them to thee too, and we just ask, Lord, that in these days we will even be very conscious and confident that thou art working out thy great purpose. So cause there to be a turning to thyself, a breath of revival, and even a spiritual awakening. Bless even now as we consider thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading this chapter just a few days ago in my own devotions, I was struck with the three references in this chapter which Paul makes to not being ashamed of the gospel or of those that are suffering for the cause of Christ and the gospel. Now, it is profitable to go through the word of God and consider that word ashamed. There are matters we should be ashamed of, namely our sins against God and his law. In the book of Ezra, chapter 9 and verse 6, you will read of Ezra upon his knees before the Lord his God. And this is what he's saying. O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Now Ezra was evidently a godly man, and therefore we discover at this time that he had a great sense in his heart, a sense of shame for the sin of his fellow countrymen, and he included himself, for he was ashamed of his own sins before God. And we should be ashamed of sin. By way of contrast to Ezra and his God-fearing attitude to sin, we read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verses 13 to 15, of those who were given to covetousness, dealing falsely, and those people included the prophets and the priests. And the question was asked, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? And the answer was, nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush, therefore they shall fall. And sadly, there are many today who have no sense of being ashamed of sin. As we come here to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we are reminded that the child of God has never any reason to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus and of the gospel. And that is what we want to consider today. There are many in this world who are ashamed of the Lord Jesus and the message of the gospel, and such people would want the child of God to be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. The word of God teaches us that the Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call his people brethren. Hebrews 2 and verse 11. And in Hebrews 11 and 16 we read that God is not ashamed to be called the God of his people. Why then should we who are saved and identify with Christ be ashamed of him and the gospel? I want today to ponder what Paul wrote here in this first chapter of 2 Timothy, in this letter, what he wrote concerning not being ashamed of Christ and his people who are suffering for his cause. Now, I want you to see, first of all, the exhortation to Timothy. Of course, this whole letter was written to Timothy. And Paul wrote this letter to Timothy as he, Paul, was suffering for the cause of Christ. He was in prison. And as he wrote to Timothy, Timothy was one who had been saved through his ministry. Timothy was one who had served God alongside Paul. And in the opening part of this letter, Paul let Timothy know that he was praying for him night and day. He called to mind that Timothy's grandmother and mother had true saving faith in Christ, and that Timothy had experienced the same saving grace. He called upon Timothy in these opening verses to stir up the gift of God that was within him as he served God. Paul did not want Timothy to be afraid of suffering for the cause of Christ. And so in verse 8 of this opening chapter, he gives this exhortation to Timothy. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be not thou therefore ashamed. Paul did not want Timothy to yield to the temptation of being ashamed of the gospel message concerning Christ. He did not want Timothy to be ashamed of identifying with Paul in prison for the cause of Christ. Rather, Paul desired that Timothy would be ready and willing to suffer for the cause of the gospel. He desired Timothy to be a faithful preacher and to identify with Christ and his people, even if that meant suffering. Toward the end of this letter of 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 9, you will read that Paul directed Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He wanted Timothy to come and see him in prison. He went on in verse 10 of chapter 4 to read of one Demas who had forsaken him, having loved this present world. Indeed, down in verse 16 of chapter 4, he wrote at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. He therefore exhorted Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul being in prison. As the Lord Jesus walked upon this earth, he gave the exhortation to his followers not to be ashamed of him and the gospel cause. In Luke 9, verse 23, the Lord Jesus said this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, the Lord Jesus was saying there is a cost to being identified with him in this work. The Lord Jesus in the same chapter, Luke 9, went on to speak very solemn words in verse 26, words which are particularly applicable to those that are out of Christ. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You read through the book of Acts. Read, for example, Acts chapter 4 and 5. You will find the apostles being arrested, being threatened because of their preaching of Christ, told no longer to preach in the name of Christ. And yet they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were not ashamed of Christ. They were not ashamed of being treated shamefully for identifying with him. The hymn writer said, Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man, ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, empty pride, I boast the Saviour crucified. And oh, may this my portion be, my Saviour is not ashamed of me. What an exhortation then Paul gave to Timothy, which is still applicable to us today. We are to remember even those in bonds for the cause of Christ. But not only did Paul give this exhortation to Timothy concerning not being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of Paul as his prisoner, I want you to see in the second place that we have the example of Paul. Not only the exhortation to Timothy, but the example of Paul. Paul was not asking Timothy to do something that he was not willing to do himself. And therefore, as you continue to read down 2 Timothy chapter 1, You will find that Paul, having exhorted Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel or of Paul, his prisoner, in verse 12 he sets before Timothy his own example. In verse 11 he had spoken of the fact that he was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. And then in verse 12 he wrote, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Although Paul suffered for being a Christian, for being a preacher of Christ, he was not ashamed, for he knew the one in whom he had believed. He was persuaded of the Lord's keeping power. He served a Saviour who had died for him and arisen for him. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In the past, before his conversion, Paul had been one who persecuted those who were followers of Christ. But now he was willing to endure all things, as he put it in chapter 2 and verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." He was not ashamed to be even in prison for the cause of Christ. He knew the word of God that he preached was not bound. The very fact he wrote this letter from prison, we still have it as part of the written word of God. He was not ashamed of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Again, the book of the Acts of the Apostles records for us something of the ministry of Paul, and proves that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You read Acts chapter 16, and you discover Paul along with Silas. They were put in prison. They had been beaten. And yet at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God loud enough for the other prisoners to hear them. Paul was not ashamed of Christ and the gospel, even again when being in prison for that cause. In Acts 17, at Athens, among the heathen and the superstitious people, Paul was not ashamed to present to them the true and the living God. In Acts 21 and verse 13, after some well-meaning friends sought to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem, he declared that he was ready to be bound and to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. He was not ashamed. In Romans 1 and 16, he wrote that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Neither should any child of God be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. As the hymn writer put it, "I'm not ashamed to yoke my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross." It's interesting, if you look through the Psalm 119, a very lengthy psalm where the psalmist has so much to say about the word of God, you will find the psalmist speaking of his desire not to be ashamed of the Lord. For example, in Psalm 119 and the verse 6, we read then, "Shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments?" In the verse 46 of Psalm 119, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed." And then verse 116, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope." Peter, in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verse 16, had a similar attitude, we might say. He said, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And so we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that as Paul brings to our attention this matter of not being ashamed of Christ, his cause, and those who are suffering for it, there was the exhortation to Timothy. There was the example of Paul, And then as we finish in the third place, there was the encouragement of a man called Onesiphorus. Having exhorted Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel, or of Paul in prison, and having testified that he, Paul himself, was not ashamed of the Lord, Paul wrote of a man who had been a great means of encouragement to Paul, especially in prison. Onesiphorus had ministered to Paul in Ephesus. We learn from the verse 18 of 2 Timothy 1, the place where Timothy had been left to minister. We also discover in verse 17 that this man Onesiphorus had been in Rome. He had sought out Paul very diligently. He had found Paul. And in verse 16 we read that he was not ashamed of Paul's chain. He oft refreshed Paul. He encouraged Paul. Are we a means of encouragement to others? Even in these days when we cannot visit in homes as we did, by means of a phone call, a text message, a letter, we can encourage others. Most of all, if we're saved, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, Paul at the end of the letter in chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, he spoke of the fact that even when all men forsook him, he could say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. When we think of the Lord Jesus himself, and his going to the cross for the salvation of his people, for the salvation of all who will turn from sin and trust in him alone. You know, Hebrews 12 tells us that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of God. He had a joy set before him. He knew what his cross work would accomplish. He despised the shame. If you know him as your Savior, be not ashamed of him. If you know him not as your Savior, turn from sin and trust him and come to know him and be not ashamed of him. What a blessing it is to know that Christ is not ashamed to call those who trust him brethren. That God is not ashamed to be our God when we turn from our sins and take him to be ours. I trust that God will bless his word to your heart, that you will even be enabled, even this evening, to spend time in prayer in your own home, whether you're on your own or as a family, that you will seek the Lord and call upon his name. Thank you for listening.